Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Wesley and Ray, and now joining us in studio is Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Wesley, you wanted to mention a conference coming up next summer that we're hosting?
Activate Summit 2025. Activate Summit 2025 is now open for registration. There's a 20% discount for Early Bird Special. That will end January 1st. So you're going to want to get on there as soon as you can and register.
What is this conference about? When is it and what's it about?
It is June the 12th through the 14th. We're looking forward to that. We're going to host it here in our hometown at a conference center here at our hometown. And the topic is going to be biblical authority and the efficiency of Scripture and building. It's our building block. It's where we start all our conversations. It's where we start all of our worldview. And we are going to have guest speakers, keynote speakers such as Abraham Hamilton III, Todd Herman, Alex McFarland, Frank Turek, and your very own Today's Issue host, Ed Vitagliano. So he will be with us as well. We also will have some panel.
So all men?
No, actually, now that you pointed that out, we have women who will participate in the panel discussion. So we have
okay,
a handful.
So we're relegating them to the panel discussion.
Can I make you happy?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just trying to look at this politically correct lens. Go ahead. Yeah.
There's a handful of women that will participate in our panel discussion. Jenna Ellis will be one of them as well. And so,
that didn't have to be
part of the conversation.
I know. But listen, this is a excellent panel of speakers we're going to have at this conference. And it's going to be Ed Vitagliano, Abraham Hamilton III, Todd Herman will be here from Idaho. Todd's going to fly in. And so if you want to meet Todd Herman in person, you can come to Tupelo.
And simultaneously, while this is going on, while the conference is going on simultaneously for the adults, we'll have Activate Kids, which will also for ages 6 through 12. Ages 6 through 12, they'll also have a program that's same content, but in the form for children. So we're looking forward to that.
A lot of people don't want their kids activated.
I know, right.
So I would say you might want to change that. What this is overall is a biblical worldview training conference featuring some of the best speakers in America. Many of them are familiar to you. Alex McFarland,
AFA's
Frank Turek,
conference.
Abraham Hamilton, Ed Vitagliano, Todd Herman. It's going to be dynamic, and it's going to have a children's track.
That's right.
The point. It's going to have it, so it's for the whole family. So, again, Wesley, if people want to look into that, what do they need to do?
Activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net. There's a tab that says Summit, and there's a bar at the top. Also, by the way, I don't think this adds just a whole lot of value, but I'll be emceeing it. So, that'll be my role. So, I'm helping myself and the team at AFA. There's 15 or 20 of us working on this every week. And between the team and myself emceeing it, there's a lot of people working real hard on this to make it as best as we can. So,
all right, Ray, you were going to say?
Well, number one, this is a tremendous conference. Wesley, that's a 5-star lineup of speakers. And I want to second the notion you said. If we're talking about grounding young people, families, in the Word of God for today's world, we got to do this. We got to know why we believe the Bible and what it says. So congratulations on this. And folks, if you're looking for a way. And Wesley, this is not just for young people. It's for all ages, basically.
That's right, all ages. So we'll have families with parents and children. We'll have grandparents. We'll have aunts and uncles. We'll even have some college students as well. This comes from the Activate curriculum that we launched back on July the 1st, I believe it was. We launched AFA created a curriculum for worldview training called Activate, and we covered 5 core areas. Obviously, Scripture, and then also we went from there. We covered religious liberty, life, marriage and family, and stewardship. And in addition to that, we wanted to have our first conference based on the Word of God. And from there, the conferences in the future will be the other 4. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What are you like?
I'm laughing at something
so
else.
Totally different. Okay.
No, that's
right. All right. So activate.afa.net and you can go there. I thought you were laughing at God's word. I was like,
No, I'm not laughing. I was laughing at something. I was reading. Okay.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Live radio. You get some of that. Okay, so I'm excited about this because we're working hard on it, and we want you to know about it. It's a 20% discount for the early bird special, so go sign up.
Okay.
So tell us what's going on
in your
world.
Well, I was reading what John Fetterman, the Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, said about the about the naming of Matt Gaetz of Florida to be Trump's attorney general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is what he said. I just found it humorous, what he said, John Fetterman, of course, the Democrat. He said about Trump making this announcement, quote, "It's just kind of like a God-tier kind of trolling just to trigger a meltdown," is what he's saying. And I thought, That's pretty much right on.
Yeah.
Trump picked Matt Gaetz because he thinks he can do the best job of what he wants to accomplish, but it's also trolling the left in a make them their hairs on fire.
Yes. It provokes them to say.
Oh gosh! Yeah.
I have posted what Tim just mentioned on the Today's Issues.
John Fetterman, that is a funny quote. He said. it's just kind of like God tier, kind of trolling just to trigger a meltdown. So I think that's funny. Anyway, go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
Well, speaking of meltdown, many people on the liberal side of media have been criticizing various Trump picks, saying this person's not fit, this person's a terrible choice. And our own Abe Hamilton III criticized the media for criticizing Trump picks.
Abe did.
Trump, yes, Abe did.
Criticize the media?
He criticized the talking snake media, as Abe calls them, for criticizing Trump picks, but never having a negative word to say about many of the people that Biden picked to serve in the Biden administration. Don't take my word for it. Here's one example of last night's program, clip 16.
The lying Goebbels Inc. media, seriously, as they go into conniption fits over whoever, you know, President Trump nominates. This is not a good nominee. You literally had a man in a dress tell me he's the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. What's old boy's name? Y'all find it for me real quick. Levine. That's Richard. His mama named him Richard Levine. I'm calling him Richard Levine. I don't hear nothing they have to say about who is and who's not qualified to be in administration. You literally have the department that is entrusted with understanding biology, and you got a man in a dress.
Yeah,
You have another one of his high cabinet members. What's the dude's name? He likes to wear dresses and heels, and he has a bald head. He was stealing women's luggage.
There you go.
Yeah. Well,
that's
Abe,
fair.
Abe slipped back to his basketball trash talking New Orleans street days.
It would be Speaker Abraham Hamilton III.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was funny. Right. Well, Abe was just,
tell us what you really think, Abe. Don't
Abe
hold
was
back.
Just sharing from his heart.
Yeah,
that's all he was doing, sharing from his heart. A great analysis by and points there by Abe. You know, this the Biden administration,
as far as qualifications go.
Listen, there were more than that. There were some wackadoodles that he had leading his administration. Not all of them, but just they were steeped in that diversity, equality, inclusion stuff, and they had some. Like he said, was it Health and Human Services that the Richard Levine, the man who dresses up like a woman?
He wasn't the head of HHS, but he was a high-ranking official.
Good points there by Abe. Next story, Steve. Chris.
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you pay me.
Don't pay me.
I threw out there yesterday. All right, I've got another soundbite here. Now, while liberal media types are criticizing Trump picks, a few governors are already trying to get a organization going where Democrats are vowing to fight President-elect Trump on all the other things he's going to do once he enters office here. But not all Democrats are in lockstep agreement that this is a good idea. One example is a guy named Will Pierce. Now, Will Pierce is a former advisor to the Biden campaign. He also worked on Bernie Sanders' campaigns. And Will Pierce was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he and Ainsley Earhart of Fox and Friends think this is a bad idea from these governors. Clip 13.
President Trump hasn't even been elected or inaugurated into office yet, and here these governors coming out against him automatically. Overall, I just think that they should be respecting the will of the constituents. For example, in Illinois, for example, 44% of the state voted for Trump. Colorado, 43% voted for Trump.
Exactly.
And now you have these governors coming out and they're saying, oh, no, we're going to oppose. They don't even know what the administration is going to be doing yet. They're just sitting here and they're just trying to get their campaign ready for the next presidential.
I agree with you. Well, when we reached out to both of the governor's offices, they just sent us the press releases. They're not going to get the support from the Republican governors. What's your response to that? Have you heard behind the scenes there are Republican governors that are, you know, wanting this playbook?
Absolutely not.
So, again, Democrat governors are already vowing to fight the guy who's not even president yet once he enters office here.
Yeah. Well, that's surprising.
And you have one Democrat saying, don't do this. It's a bad idea. And I think there is evidence to back him up on that. I just saw an op-ed this morning from David Harsanyi, who has written for various things, including The Federalist and National Review. And he said the reason why Democrats lost is because you ran on weird.
Yeah. Ray, it's going to be interesting to see who emerges as the leader of the Democrat Party in the next few months.
You know, we you were quoting Fetterman, mm-hmm. who we all were, I don't know. He went through that period there, John Fetterman, right from Pennsylvania. Yet I think his approach of not being so negative about the Trump administration, at least complimenting them where he can, I think that's going to play a lot better than governors like Newsom,
right?
Who are saying, we're going to stop Mr. Trump. We're going to oppose him if he tries to do anything in this state. I think that's the wrong way to go. This was an overwhelming victory for the Republicans and for Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
It was the first time in 40 years that places that have been blue for our lifetimes, Wesley and I's lifetime, it was the first time like places like California had a lot of red votes since 1984. New York had a lot of red votes. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I don't know, I sent you guys an article from the New York Post from about 4 or 5 days ago about how the Jewish vote went in America on election night, or, you know, the results came in on election night. Jews typically vote for Democrats. And, of course, the Jewish vote in the state of New York is really big because so many Jews live there. And also they live in South Florida. A lot of Jews live in South Florida and other places, Boston. But the Jews, Ray, normally vote Democrat right down the line. And they were saying, the report, the story was that if you look up New York Post and how did the Jews vote, it might come up for you, the numbers. But anyway, the point was that the Jews voted more for Republicans this time than ever before, Ray.
I'm not surprised because, number one, the Democrats have been playing fast and loose and footsie with AOC and the left-wingers and the pro-Hamas crowd in the Democratic Party. President Trump is a friend of Israel.
Right.
He's the one who moved the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And let's face it, what we've seen from Biden and Kamala Harris has just been disastrous for the nation of Israel. I think they know who their friends are, and they know that in the end, Donald Trump is going to stand up for Israel.
So the Jews in America, now many of them are secular. They're not religious.
Yep.
But they know anti-Semitism is hatred against Jews, and the people who hate Jews don't care whether they're religious or not. They hate Jews because they exist. And that has given – that's a problem on the left in America today, if you look at it. And so you got Jews also on the left, but going, man, I can't continue to partner with people who hate me, even if I agree with them on politics otherwise. And say, I think that's what's happened. Go ahead, Chris. Did you find that story?
Well, I found a New York Post story, and it talks about how it was a big issue in Pennsylvania, for example, where Josh Shapiro was picked over for Governor Tim Walz.
Yes, that's the story. I think that's the story. It was about 5 or 6 days ago.
Yes.
It was on the New York Post. Mm-hmm. And, one of the points was that the reason people think the reason Harris, I say people think, I sound like Trump, some people say, that Harris did not pick Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who would have helped her win Pennsylvania, maybe, and maybe win the presidency, maybe, would have been better than Waltz from Minnesota, who the Democrats already had Minnesota in the bag. But the reason he wasn't picked was because he was a Jew. There's a lot of speculation in that regard because he was considered a superior vice presidential pick than Waltz.
Yeah, but if she had picked Shapiro, I think we'd be having a different conversation.
Yeah, I mean, very easily could have. Go ahead, Ray, you want to say?
Well, you're talking about what I'm looking at the actual returns here from Pennsylvania. It's about 7 million votes, and Donald Trump's ahead by, I mean, it's Trump won Pennsylvania, but out of 7 million votes, his lead is about 100 and, if I'm reading this right, about 106,000, 107,000.
Yeah.
Josh Shapiro's pretty popular in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. He could have flipped
pretty
that.
Pretty popular. That's a small margin out of 7 million votes. If he had carried Pennsylvania, who knows what the rest of the blue wall would have done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think conservatives are saying, hey, we're glad with you Tim Walz.
Oh, yeah. Next story, Chris.
I'm gonna update our listeners on something we have been covering for a very long time.
Do we have
time
any now. Update music? Update.
We do now.
We have an update.
We have MC Wesley on.
We have an update. Over to Chris Woodward
yes.
for the update.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Okay.
I have an update now on a story involving a young man named Liam Morrison. Now, Liam Morrison, a few years ago, made national headlines when he showed up for his seventh grade class in the state of Massachusetts wearing a T-shirt saying, "There are only two genders." His school district told him, "You can't wear that," and they sent him home, and he, long story short, ended up lawyering up with Alliance Defending Freedom that has long been in court ever since, fighting for his First Amendment free speech rights. One of the attorneys there at ADF, or Alliance Defending Freedom, has pointed out to me several times now that the school district does allow things like LGBT pride t-shirts with LGBT messages, but they will not allow Liam to wear a t-shirt that says there are only two genders. The update with this story is ADF, after having lost at the federal district court level and the appeals court level, ADF is now going to the U.S. Supreme Court to try to get this Supreme Court to take up Liam's case. He's now in a different school system. He's gotten older. But he still has an argument to go to court over, and so ADF has gone to the Supreme Court. They have a brief with the support of about 18 states and a whole bunch of free speech advocates, and in the soundbite that I'm going to air here, it's attorney Logan Spina talking about why this case matters and everybody listening to the sound of our voices should pay attention to Liam's case. Clip 14.
Liam's situation matters to everyone because of the role that school plays in our society. We're seeing right now, people are starting to question the value of free speech, even though free speech plays an essential role in keeping our system of government free. And that's because schools have been failing to adequately instill in children the value that speech plays. Instead, they're teaching children exactly what the message the school sent here, which is if speech offends you, that it can be shut down. You can get the government to come and silence that speech. That's exactly the wrong message. We need our schools to be instilling in students the values that are necessary for them to play their role as responsible citizens who will also respect liberty, exercise it responsibly, and also respect the liberty of other people who don't necessarily agree. So this case is good for everyone, whether you like Liam's speech or whether you don't. What you should care about is free speech for all and schools that will instill in all a respect for free speech.
Now, once again, just to clarify, they're asking the Supreme Court to take the case. It doesn't mean the justices will. There's a whole bunch of cases the High Court never takes. But the ADF is asking them to take this up, and if they do, it will be sometime between today and probably March before we get a decision on whether
okay, so you have a young man, was it elementary school?
He was in seventh grade
at the time. Seventh grade, middle school in Massachusetts. He wears a T-shirt to school which says there are only two genders. Is that what it said?
Yes.
And that triggered the administration at the school to tell him you can't wear that here. And, okay, so I would say at that point, what is your policy regarding messages on T-shirts? Because it has to be equally applied. Mm-hmm. And my thing, this is me talking, and I think he will win if it's unequally applied. If, for example, you can wear messaging that has LGBTQ pride, comments on mm-hmm. them. And by the way, that message that there are only two genders is scientifically and biologically provable.
Right.
So
they're not a political position.
They were just picking on him because he didn't toe the left line, on this. And my guess is he'll win when it's all said and done. But who knows in Massachusetts? Another thing. I do think that schools have a right to.
Schools have a dress code and standards.
They have a right, yeah. So it needs to be written out. In other words, you can't go to school with a T-shirt with
pornography,
pornography or open profanity, on it, or things of that, or middle finger. Mm-hmm.
There
are things that prohibited.
Sure,
right.
But those are standard prohibitions, not
per school,
not a political message right. or a biblical message. All right, I wanted to before we end the program today. Ray, I wanted to ask you, because I didn't ask you at the top of the hour, what is your, do you have a good word for us today from the scripture?
I just been reading from Hebrews chapter 4, and this is a good word, but it also is the kind of word that makes you stop and think that Hebrews 4 says, for we have, I'm turning to it right now.
Go ahead.
It says that, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, but we have one who is tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin, which means we got a friend in high places. You know, when you're in trouble, when you're really in trouble, you need someone to help you get out of trouble. If you know Jesus Christ, you have a friend in the best possible place of the universe. Jesus, who's ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. He can sympathize. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. And friends, this may scare you, but don't let it scare you. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've done because he saw it all anyway. If you come to him, with confidence. It says, let us approach the throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. If you know Jesus, the throne of judgment has been turned into a throne of grace. Come to him. Come with your burdens. Come with your cares. Come with your worries. And it says here at the end that we may find mercy and grace to help us. And my version says in our time of need, but one version says in the nick of time. And I like that. Help in the highest place of the universe, right next to the throne of God. If you're in trouble, friends, come to Jesus. He'll give you grace and mercy right when you need it in the very nick of time.
Now, where are you reading?
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16.
When you start studying just God and you realize how, when we went to the Creation Museum a couple weeks back, and when they had a video theater in there where you get in your chair, you look up, and they show the stars and the universe, and they spend 15 or 20 minutes going over the whole universe, and then you realize just how small we are in the grand scheme of things. But to know that Jesus is able to sympathize with us in our weakness is just remarkable.
Well, yeah, and the fact that God cares and wants a relationship with each person individually, as the Bible says, God knows the hairs on your head. So.
Right.
God cares about you and all of us on an individual level.
And it's that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah. All right, thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Chris, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to Wesley and Fred and, Sandy was on with us, too, and Adam, our producer. We hope you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow for Trivia Friday.